3:34.
Thank you.
wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. As you
Romans chapter 1, as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans, the epistle of Paul to the Romans, a city of Rome. There were believers there. They had started a church there, and the apostle Paul sent a letter to them. And by the way, you can search the whole letter. You can search it all the rest of your life if you want. And you'll not find Peter's name mentioned at all, okay? If Peter is the first pope and he started the church in Rome, well, the Bible doesn't know anything about that, all right? And I don't believe it at all. Peter did not start the church in Rome, and he was not a pope. They didn't even have such a thing as that. And Peter was married, all right? So, therefore, what they say about the Pope is just falsehoods. It's not Bible. Let's take our Bibles. We're already down to chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 19 here this morning. Verse 19, Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We just heard about how wasted years is so foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I'm going to stop right there. And here we want to see God's wrath is upon men because they reject the knowledge that's been given to them. And their knowledge of God leaves them without excuse. If you ever wonder what's going to happen in a judgment day when everybody has to stand before God, I believe every single person standing before God will be there without any excuse for not having trusted or believed in what God has provided for their salvation from sin. God every day is reaching out to every man on this planet. Every day he's reaching out to them that they might come to the knowledge of the truth. And he starts with what you see every day you wake up. And you open your eyes, unless you're blind physically, then you have to use your hands to figure it out. And God has given you hands to find out things. And every day when you wake up and open your eyes, folks, you see the eternal power and Godhead of our God who made us. And who lives forever in heaven, and to whom you're going to stand before and give account one of these days. And this chapter of chapter 1 just really lays it out there that God sees the whole world as lost and needing to be saved and brought up unto himself. And so he works right from the beginning of creation. And their knowledge of him is actually within them. So when you talk to people about the Lord, unless they are on drugs or totally drunk or, their mind is blown somehow, you can accept this truth about them. They have a conscience which tells them there is a God. Now, depending on how far along they are in life and how much information about God and everything they've taken in, and then what they've done with that information, they may be at the point where they're no longer going to be able to respond to God's wooing them unto himself. But you can depend upon this biblical fact here that all men have a conscience in them that tells them there is a God, there is someone higher than myself. And it's what they do with that information that causes them problems. Now, we're at about 17 minutes after the hour. I do want to stop and just allow you folks, if you care to do so, give some feedback as far as what you see that I'm going to be talking about in this passage. What do you see in this world going on that kind of goes along with what we're going to talk about here this morning? So I'm just going to tell you that. I don't always do that. Don't always open it up like that. But I'm going to this morning. I just felt that was something in my heart and mind that I ought to do. Now, what's going to happen with that, I don't know, but you listen as we go along. The knowledge within creation itself in verse 20, what does creation reveal? It reveals his eternal power and Godhead. Folks, if you can't look at creation and see that there is a master designer behind all this, then you are a fool, as the passage says. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't think you should call people that fool. Well, I'm not. The Bible is. All right? God is saying this. Not me. God is. But quite frankly, I'm not afraid to say what God says, because that's my responsibility to preach the word. And when God calls men fools, then I have to find out why he's saying that and preach it. And hopefully men will respond. They see his Godhead. That means the divine nature behind all these things. Not his actual deity. Just looking at creation and everything is not going to enable a man to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But that's the starting point. When a man starts right there and responds to that, I believe, and I can give scripture for this, throughout the Bible, there's various places. I believe God will draw that man even closer to himself and give him all the information he needs in order to fully respond to God's wooing of himself unto himself. And I think it's the most wonderful. I think based upon the Bible, that it's the most wonderful thing that God can ever do. And I'm talking about God the Father. And that is to show men about his Son, Jesus Christ, and to reveal what his Son has done for them. And he starts with creation to seek to try to draw men unto himself. Now, creation shows men the Godhead. The general revelation here doesn't save, but rejection of it leaves man without excuse. I'll give you an example, okay? Cornelius, whom God, in a vision, told him, I want you to send men to Joppa. There's a man named there, Peter, Simon. Bring him unto you. He has words to preach to you in order that you might get saved. So I hope you know the story in the book of Acts there. He went, sent men. Simon came to him, preached the gospel to him. And when Simon got there, Cornelius said, well, the Lord showed me that you would come and preach words that would save me. And so Peter proceeded to do so. And that day, that man Cornelius got saved, and his whole household got saved that day. What a wonderful thing. How about this other person in a chariot on his way back to Egypt? He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. No, you know, on his way there, how'd he know he needed to worship God? See, I believe in every man, there's that conscience that there's a God. And if you seek more information, I believe that God will give you more information. There he is on the road back from Jerusalem. He still hadn't gotten anything, except he did get something. How about I just ask you to answer it? What did he get at Jerusalem that he had on his way back to Egypt? Come on. What did he have that he didn't have before? Not salvation. Good. He's going to get that. All right. Maybe I should say that's good, but it's not yet. That's not what I'm looking for. What else? A portion of the Word of God. Isaiah. In our day, we know the chapter. What chapter was he reading in? 53. Isaiah 53. Now, is that just by chance? Or does God know the mind of that Ethiopian eunuch and his desire to know some things? And I believe God was working in his life, even to actually pick up a copy of Scripture, which was probably very expensive. Now, I didn't really plan to get too deep into this, but he got that passage of Scripture, and there he is in the chariot going back home reading where we know it to be Isaiah chapter 53, where it talks about a suffering Messiah. And of course, then God uses a man named Philip, who's having a good time in the city of Samaria, preaching the gospel. Many people are getting saved. I want you to go down to a desert. Philip obeyed. This Christian man, Philip, obeyed. He went down there and led that Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, if you remember the beautiful story. How the man said, well, who does this talk about? And he got up into the chariot next to him, and he preached unto him who?
Jesus.
Preached unto him Jesus. You got saved and even got baptized, unless you don't have a King James Bible, because it leaves that passage out. You got saved, you got baptized to identify with the Lord in the death, burial, and resurrection. See, we put people under the water and bring them back up, death, burial, and resurrection. All necessary in order for a man to get saved. What's necessary? To believe in that. The baptism comes after you get saved, after you believe. And who knows what happened after he went back down there into Egypt? Who knows that maybe there weren't a host of people in the country of Egypt who also have responded already to the creation and the fact that there is a creator. And here comes this Ethiopian eunuch. He's going to preach the gospel to those people down there whom God says, I'm going to show them more information in order that they might be saved. And I do know that the history will tell us there were several good churches in the place of Egypt that were established. And so who knows, but it may have been from just that little event there of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, and then to go down into Egypt and tell people about the Lord there, his friends and neighbors, and next thing you know, a church is established there. Well, it's just something, isn't it? God is bringing men unto himself. But their corruption of the knowledge of God shows them to be guilty before God in verses 21 through 23. They glorified him not as God. Look, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They glorified him not. They thanked him not. Boy, is that going on today? Oops, I'm sorry. You're going to tell me that at the end of the service, right? Okay, so they glorified him not. They thanked him not. Thus, they began to worship themselves. I mean, you know, even if men turn their back on God's revelation of himself unto them, men still want to have a God. And if they won't have the God of creation, you know who they will have? Themselves. They will put themselves up as the God that they think they are. But that's because they become vain in their imagination. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible what? Man. Now, don't forget, when I hesitate after asking you a question, I'm expecting the answer to come. I know some of the preachers we've had lately, they'll say it, and you're all talking, and he's already answered it for you. I like to get you involved in what I'm trying to say. Hopefully, I keep you awake as a result of that. Boy, you know what? At Ray Street Baptist Church, if you're falling asleep during the sermon and the message, then... Okay, please tell me about it, all right? I'm going to have to do something to wake you up and make you interested in the things of God's Word. As far as I'm concerned, after we get done singing and the singing and everything, that needs to be good. And folks, don't stop singing. Let's be a singing church. But then the Word of God needs to be prayed. Okay, you answered it correctly, like to corruptible man. And even to birds and to four-footed beasts. That's quadrupeds in the Greek, quadrupeds, four-legged animals and creeping things. Yes, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and Moses was up in the mountain with God, as far as they were concerned, too long. And I'll tell you what, the man of God can never be alone with God too long. It's a good thing to be alone with God, because you wait till he comes down. He will have the glory of God shining all over his face. And so will you if you get alone with God. And you need to get alone with God and in the Bible. Excuse me. What did they do? They said, Aaron, make us a god. And he made them a calf, a four-footed beast. Instead of worshiping the God of the Mount Sinai, that mountain was shaking and on fire. They should have, see, God was seeking to draw them unto himself, and they reject it. And what will happen when they reject it? They will begin to worship themselves and even animals. So thus they worshiped themselves. They became vain in their imaginations. They became darkened spiritually. And they became what God calls them, fools. And the Greek word for fools there is moron. Moron. They become morons. And notice man's evolution downward here in verse 23. Man, then the birds, then the four-footed beasts, and then the creeping things like snakes. Wait a minute. I thought evolution was supposed to take us up, you know. God says it's taking them down. And they end up worshiping creeping things upon this earth. Now, the wrath of God gets specifically revealed here in verse 24 and onward. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This whole chapter here is explaining to us why God is just in having wrath toward this whole lost world. Because they've rejected the knowledge of him. And they've put themselves in the place of the God who made all things. And they began worshiping themselves. And so what does God do? God does what he does. Verse 24, he gives them up to uncleanness. And now, by the way, in verse 24, the word also is taken out by the New Modern Versions. No, you leave it right in there. Wherefore, God also gave them up. You know, the also kind of makes you think of the things that have already been said before. And so now God also gives them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Now, notice God three times it says that God gives them up or God gave them up. And men have their own reasons here for turning upon God. Does God remove his restraint upon living men when they turn against him? So he does. God gives them up. Boy, you don't want to be in that position where you're one of those whom God has given up on. That is an awful condition and a position to be in. And I would say this, if you're already sitting in front of me and listening to me or on the internet and listening to this message, and you have any concern at all for more knowledge about God than that, I'll say he hasn't given up on you yet, all right? But oh, there are a number of people who have constantly said, no, no, I can't believe that there's a master designer of all these things. I'm not going to accept that. I can't accept that. For whatever reason, they may get to the place. And I believe there's a lot of people in this condition today. And I'm not just talking about somebody who lives in a hut somewhere all by himself without enough money or anything like that and not a lot of education. I'm talking about men and women who may be in very high places in our society. And I will say I'll give you one example of a place where you'll find a lot of them. It would be in our educational system. Many of them in our educational system who are teaching our young people. You hear the word millennials, you know. These millennials have been taught by atheistic teachers, evolution-believing teachers, And thus, because they believe in evolution, they're more of a social type of thinking, and that the group and all of us together will help ourselves. Therefore, they're very socialistic in their thinking, politically. And that's just the millennials. Imagine the next group coming up after them. And how about the little groups now in the kindergartens and things like that? It would astound you if you could see, and if you have a mind that's still right with God, it would astound you what they are actually teaching in our kindergarten, first grade, and pre-K. Now the kids go when they're 3 years old. There's no home. Where's mom and dad? I'm really getting off, aren't I? And I'm probably filling up all those time that I'm giving for you to say some things at the end of this message. Sorry about that. Maybe I'm blowing some of your candles out. I don't know. I think it's an awful thing going on here. But God does give men up. Go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 3, I believe this is the reason for the Noahic flood. The Noahic flood. You say Noahic. Yes, that's the name Noah is in there. Okay. Noah's flood. Why did God destroy this whole world with a watery judgment? And you can see that as if you want to as well. Get out of your bed in the morning and go see the watery judgment that God has already brought upon this planet, let alone what he's going to do the next time. It won't be with water. How about you answer this one? It won't be with water. It will be with what?
Fire.
According to the Bible. According to the Bible. Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And if you want to read on in Genesis, you will find in 120 years, Noah went into the ark, saved himself and his family, and all the species of animals that there were on the earth, including dinosaurs. Oh, I don't believe that. Probably their head stuck out of the chimney on the top. That's the worst thing that you can give to your child, is a depiction of Noah's Ark with a giraffe's neck and head sticking up out of the hole in the top of the Ark, like as if they could hardly fit in there. Give them a good picture. That thing was a big, huge, rectangular, barge-like ship. And it was water worthy. And there was more than enough room for everybody to get in there, just like there's always room at the cross for you. There's always room at the cross for you. And that's what we eventually, through Romans, want to get you to. To the place where, all right, God's revealed himself to you through the creation, and now you're responding to that. I believe he will get you the gospel, either through a missionary, a gospel tract, something on the radio, on the TV. How about even better than that? In your old-fashioned church, Ray Street Baptist Church, standing there on Ray Street in Catasauqua, go there, sit there, and listen, and you'll hear about Jesus who died on the cross for your sins. And if you accept that, you will be saved from sin, which is going to be described in the next verses through the rest of this chapter. All the sins that there are. Because if you don't think you're a sinner, just read on in this passage. I won't get through that today, but you can read on and see that you're a sinner, whom if you do not trust Christ as your Savior, whom God in love and grace and mercy sent into this world to die on your cross, on the cross, then you will have to withstand the wrath of God upon you. which he will do. These passages tell us the wrath of God is going to be upon them. But it may be possible that you have gone too far and God has given up. I hope that I'm not talking to anybody like that today. I hope and pray that as I'm speaking like this, that you're saying, oh, that's me, and I better stop listening to this world's wisdom. And the wisdom of this world, which according to the Bible says that God has actually caused them to have a vain imagination, a foolish heart. Oh, boy. I can show you other passages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10. I won't go there. You can. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 talk about it's impossible to renew them unto repentance if they keep rejecting what God has revealed to them. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31 says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin if you willfully reject the truth. I mean, where else are you going to go? We're not going to crucify the Son of God afresh. That's in that passage too. Where, Pastor? In Hebrews chapter 10. We're not going to crucify, or Hebrews 6, that is. We're not going to crucify Jesus afresh just because the first time wasn't good enough for you. No, that first death on the cross is sufficient to save me, you, and everybody on this planet. If you'll just receive it and believe it. If you don't, you may get to the point where God says, I'm done. And you can sit in a church for the rest of your life and listen to good preaching and it will never get through to your heart because you've rejected God way too many times. So if you're sitting in the service and it's convicting your heart, amen, you're not been given up on, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then so what has happened here? In verse 24, God gave them up what? To uncleanness. And that's like beast-like cravings. Wow. I wonder if we see that today. And through the lust of their own hearts, it says, notice their own hearts do this to them. God doesn't have to do it. It's not something God puts in them, but the working out of what they are already on the inside. You know, you don't have to say the devil made me do it. You don't even have to say, well, I think God's causing all this trouble. Oh, no. It's you on the inside. Look, one place, Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Hey, this is Jesus talking. Verse 23. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And when God gives men up unto uncleanness, he doesn't have to put the uncleanness in there. They'll just do it all on their own. And I believe we see a society like that today, pretty much like that. All right, there we go. I'm done. I'm going to ask you, can you give me illustrations? And folks on the internet, I'm sorry, but you won't be able to hear these things. And but this is our church, okay? And we can do what we want. How about it? Anybody here this morning, you say, you know what, preacher, that reminds me of what? Go ahead. Who'll be first? Reminds me of what? Sam, what do you got? Yeah. Yes. Right. Yep. That would be 10% came back, right? 10%. I don't know that we have 10% of believers in the world today. I don't have the ability to take a poll or anything, but I can hardly believe that 10% are saved in the world today. I sure would hope so. Boy. Anybody else? Come on. Billy.
When it says about God giving up, them up to uncleanness, I think about the law about homosexual marriages.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, I didn't get far enough into the passage, and you're probably all licking your chops to be able to say that one, you know, because it's in the passage as we will continue next time. Anyone else? Good. Yep. Anyone else? Oh, yes. The homosexual agenda. That's unclean. Anything else? All right. Bill Donches.
See the poor enemy exalting himself and all the things that he has other people doing.
Yes. And who's that enemy? Satan, yes. Very much alive in our world today and doing the things that we're reading about here. Yep. Joe.
I understand disobedient children belong to the king of this world.
Yes.
Which are to be Christ, or Christians, or Christ-like. I understand that there's a clear choice this year. It's a person who believes it's okay to pull a baby's head out of the body.
Yeah.
In the last month's birth.
Yes.
Stick a screwdriver or something in that head.
Yep.
Destroy that baby.
Yep. Something wrong with a society like that, right, Joe?
That being said, I believe that the Christians will make a difference this year. And that's what Christ asks us to do, to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the schools.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good Christ-like people in the schools. But the Pharisees are forcing what they're allowed to teach.
Yeah.
And that's where it's coming from.
Yep.
And I just hope that people weigh that when they vote this year.
Yeah. I think there's a clear choice.
Yes.
When you think of those things. As wicked as these two individuals are, still, you have to make a choice. And I'll tell you what, that's a big one right there. Partial birth abortion has got to be one of the most wicked things a society can do. But you know, societies have been doing that. If you remember my lessons on way back, what they would do to babies to worship their God. And see, this is all coming down the same way. Evolution and abortion and their rights and everything. I'm going to be getting to that in the next few verses of the rest of this chapter. See, it's a worshiping of themselves. They've set themselves up as gods. And they've determined that it's okay to get rid of that life in the womb, no matter which way or how you want to do it. It's okay. How do we ever get to the place where we'd say it's okay to destroy that little Lydia that we have right here? To actually jam some kind of a tool up into their brain and scramble it around. You say, oh, it's a novel thing to preach about. Going on. It's going on. And one very openly says it's okay to do it. I'm talking about the candidates out there, not just the two for president, but all the way down to your local levels. You need to find out what they think about these things. All right, what else? Anybody? I saw other hands here. Sharon and Joe. Sharon, what?
Satan worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any kind of worship is...
Except for worshiping Christ. Yeah. Don't do that. But they can worship Satan in schools. Mm-hmm. Yep. You say, well, not in our school. Well, okay. You just have to wait till you find out what school's doing it. But more and more and more they're allowing it to be done. Joe?
Transgender. God created man and woman. Mm-hmm. Not that somewhere along the line you can stop and say, well, I'm not a man no more. I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Or I'm a woman. Who
yeah.
says they're a man.
Yeah.
God created him, us in his image.
Yep.
Got to change your mind somewhere down the line.
That's right. Transgender. When a person makes that decision, and of course then the society around agrees with that decision, they've all determined in their mind, God's word and God doesn't matter. We will determine whether they're there to be a woman or a man. We will. And we will accommodate that by allowing them to go whatever bathroom they feel that they are able to go into. My wife and I delivered a letter of our disgust to Target for their decision to do so to the local Target store. I don't know, it probably ended up in the garbage or whatever, but nevertheless, there it is. We don't agree with this. Someone else, I saw someone else. Kathy?
In skipping down to verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So I think even across the board, saved and lost, if you don't practice his presence, thinking and meditating on God, it's not judgment like some people would say that God is doing, but actually we condemn our own sins.
Right.
But our inner nature just is able then to take over because the thoughts of God aren't there anymore.
Yep. They actually judge themselves. They don't even realize they're doing it to themselves. Yep, we'll get to those passages next time. Okay, someone else. I thought I saw more hands. Anyone else? Marge?
Yeah, where it says professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I couldn't help but think about when you mentioned the millennials. We send them off into colleges where academia is well educated. They have all the answers. And young people are brought up without the knowledge of God at all or Bible truth or anything. So they will accept whatever is being taught them. And sometimes, as you say, the heart, the sin that comes from the heart, they will go with what they're being taught and even take it further.
Yep. Than what they're being. That's the key. They'll take it further. They'll take it further. Just one generation after another keeps getting worse and worse. All right, Kathy again, and then Ralph. Kathy?
Well, just when Mark said it became cool, how can you not look at the condition of our schools now and see what has happened to them because we pulled the Bible out and we pulled prayer out, and now there's guns and how can you have to be a fool to not see?
Yep. Ralph?
Going along with what Marge was just saying, we have the example of Lot in the Old Testament, where he allowed he and his family to live in an evil, vile society. And no one knew that he was God's child. We don't even know it until we get to the New Testament.
Right.
His testimony was so muted that you couldn't even tell he was saved.
Yep.
And because he allowed himself to live like that, he destroyed his family.
Yep.
His daughters were completely messed up, and his wife died because she was so attached to that society.
Yep. Yep.
And we see a lot of that going on in our own families.
That's right.
Professing Christians.
That's right.
Maybe mom and dad maybe want to live right. But then kids don't do whatever they
want to
do.
Yep. And if you want your children to do right, you've got to do right. And I know I don't have so many parents in here, but I got some grandparents in here. And I'm going to tell you what, grandparents, you better do right. You better do what's right. If you want those grandchildren to come, if there's any hope for them, then grandma and grandpa are going to have to do it. Maybe your own kids aren't doing it. Well, guess what? You better be doing it. And I'm afraid maybe we're dropping the ball on that. We all need to get busy about the things of the Lord. And one of the biggest things you can do is be involved in your own local church work. And be there. Be present. Support it. Pay the bills. Pray for the preachers. Be a good witness yourself. Carry tracts around. Talk about, when's the last time you told anybody about your own church you go to and invited them to come? Come on. We can complain about all the politics and things going on. Come on, we've got to live for the Lord. Us, we, you, me. We got to live for the Lord. What are we doing? Boy, that's the exhortation that we need to hear here today. Come on, let's live for the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, help us, Lord. Help me. Help me to live for you, Lord. All the days we got left here on this earth, help me to talk about my Savior Jesus. Help me to witness for you. Help me to invite some lost soul to my church that they might hear the gospel and be saved. Help me to hand out tracts. Help me to open my mouth for the Lord. If I'm in a conversation about things that are going on, help me to speak up for the right things. Help me, Lord, to do right. Even if the stars fall, help me to do right. And it doesn't matter what our society agrees to do or says that evil is good and good is evil. Help me, Lord, to stay true to thy word. And be faithful to you, and may all of us do the same thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.